This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard.
Have you ever stopped to think about whether you spend more time and money experiencing new things or getting new stuff? Do you think that you get more pleasure out of owning the latest and greatest gadget or planning and taking an amazing trip or even something like an art class?
Science is showing that if you value experiences over objects, you'll probably score higher on a satisfaction scale. And with us to explain why that is Thomas Gilovich. He's a professor of psychology at Cornell University. Thomas, welcome to Central Time.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, science says that when we have to decide between a thing and an experience, we should pretty much pick the experience every single time. How come?
Well, I wouldn't say every single time. What I would say is that it's very tempting. Most of us have limited financial resources, after all, and it's very tempting to say to yourself, oh, you know, I'd really love to have that experience. I'd love to go see that band in concert. I'd love to have that vacation. I'd love to take those lessons. But, you know, those will come and go in a flash, however enjoyable they are. Maybe I should invest instead in something more substantial, furniture, clothing, an addition to the house that will last longer. And what the research suggests is that although that sounds solid, and it is true in a material sense, psychologically it's the reverse. The things that you're around all of the time, the furniture, the addition to the house, you adapt to them and eventually don't notice them, whereas the experiences that you have live on in the stories that you tell, the sense of identity that you've achieved, the way that it has helped you to grow. And so the recommendation is not to pursue the experience every single time. It's just to tilt our expenditures a little more in the experiential direction, a little less in the material direction, and then we'll be happier.
Well, it sounds as though one of the reasons this is true, research has shown, is the effect of, you know, what we might call rose-colored glasses, that we might not have had the best time if we were on a big bike trip in the rain, but looking back, we'll think, you know, that was great. I had a new experience, I challenged myself, and therefore it's better in retrospect in the rearview mirror.
Yes, that's correct, and that can sound like a distortion, and to some degree it is. We can take a bad experience and romanticize it and think it was better than it was. But in another respect, it really isn't a distortion. It's just two different perspectives on the same thing. When we're going through an experience, the details really matter, and if it's bitterly cold or if the mosquitoes are biting you, those details determine your enjoyment. At the same time that you're living through those details, you're also accumulating an experience. You're climbing over a mountain pass. You're becoming a kind of person who can endure the outdoors. And with time, with perspective, we tend to evaluate our experiences not in terms of their low-level details, but in terms of their broader meaning. So it really isn't so much or isn't always just a distortion. It's really a change of perspective in terms of what are you getting out of the experience. In the here and now, it's the details. Later on, it's the broader meaning.
And you mentioned a little bit about, you know, that getting used to things. You know, you have a new coat or even a new car, and the thrill wears off, it sounds like, maybe quicker than it would if you went on a trip and you think back on it. What's the difference there?
The one difference is that for the experiences that a person has, you tend not to adapt to them as quickly because they live on in the connections you make with other people. When you run into someone else who's seen the same performers, that's an immediate social connection, an enriching conversation that you wouldn't otherwise have. When you run into someone who's vacationed in the same place, the same thing. Now, of course, you feel a little more similar to someone who has the same material possession as you do, but not nearly to the same degree. If you and I found out that we owned the same model computer, we'd feel a little bit closer to each other than we had before, but not nearly as much as if we both learned that we hiked the John Muir Trail, let's say.
Doesn't it get into the area of unflattering comparisons, where if you went on a trip and I went on a trip, but yours was fancier, you know, am I going to feel as bad as if, say, we own the same car?
Yeah, that's a good point. Let's go back to that very same example of we both buy the same type of computer, but the more we probe it, I find out that yours is just better. It has a faster processor, the screen is brighter, and so on. How much would that buy? And you got it more cheaply than I did. How much would that bother me, or how much would that bother the average person? Quite a bit. You don't want to be outgunned on someone by someone on a standard consumer purchase. Now compare that to you find out that you've vacationed in the same spot as someone else. That person was there. They had better weather. The hotel was better and cheaper. How much would that bother you? Again, it would bother you a bit, but not nearly as much, partly because you're not going to trade your memories for your experience with someone else's. And so it just doesn't have the same oomph that an unfortunate comparison on a material good does.
We're talking to Thomas Gilovich right now. He's a professor of psychology at Cornell University, and he's explaining for us why people get more satisfaction out of experiences generally than they do about over things. And another part of this is anticipation, and that can be a big part of the happiness factor. How does it work when it comes to experiences and things?
Well, we're pretty good at spending our money in ways that make us happy. So if we're anticipating an upcoming material purchase or an experiential purchase, thinking about it is going to make us happy. However, looking forward to the material good, in addition to overall producing a sense of happiness, it's tinged a little bit with this kind of impatience. It's like the kid before Christmas. You just can't wait for Christmas to get here. I want this now. And that doesn't ruin the enjoyment by any means, but it diminishes it, gives it a slightly different, less pleasant flavor. Whereas when people are looking forward to experiences, it doesn't have that same gotta have it now. In fact, we often want to put off the experience because we want to enjoy the consumption of merely thinking about it. Oh, it's going to be great to be on the white sand beaches of Hawaii. And you don't want it to come right now. You want to enjoy thinking about it. So the anticipation of experiences is often more enjoyable than the anticipation of material goods. And, of course, we buy things not just for having them right then and enjoying them in the here and now, but we also enjoy things in anticipation and in the memories we have about them afterwards.
There's some interesting studies about this, too, one in which people were offered a thank you gift of a pen or potato chips. What happened there?
Yeah. In one condition of that experiment, people either ate the potato chips or drew with their Cornell pens by themselves. That is, there were no other objects around. So presumably they were evaluating the pen or the chips on their own terms. In another condition, on the table where they received their chips or pen, there was, in the chips condition, a bunch of chocolate. And Cornell students like chocolate more than potato chips. And that would lead them to think, okay, I'm getting potato chips here. Other people must be getting chocolate. Why didn't I get chocolate? And the question is, how much is that going to bother them? In the condition where they were given a pen, there were a bunch of Cornell mugs on the table, leading them to think, maybe other people got mugs. Why didn't I get a mug? And then after the experiment, they evaluated how much they liked their pen and the chips. And they didn't like the pen nearly as much when they thought other people got mugs. That, again, material possessions invite these kinds of keeping up with the Joneses psychology. How am I doing relative to other people? A pen is not as good as a mug. And you might think that at first about, hey, why didn't I get chocolate? Why do I have to eat these chips? And that might make you feel a little unhappy for a moment, but then you start eating the chips and the salt and fat on the chips taste good. You get involved in that and you forget about the comparison. Comparisons matter less when it comes to engaging experiences than when it comes to material goods.
And we leave it there. Thomas, thank you so much for joining us.
Happy to do so. Thank you.
That was Thomas Gilovich, professor of psychology at Cornell University. He explained for us why people get more satisfaction out of experiences than out of things.
And now I want chips. Thanks for that. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.